Kids like that.
Yeah, airplanes and John Malkovich. What else can you ask for? Yeah. From Santa Bear's High Flying Adventure.
Kids lead it up. Oh, I would have loved to have been at a pitch meeting for that.
Well, it's because it, like I said, it was a sequel. So
it's a guy in a tweed suit and a plaid bow tie comes in.
All right, guys, we got a big idea for this Christmas. We got to move these bears. We just got to move these bears. Teddy bears. They're going back in style.
But even on top of that, like they went all out in terms of merchandise because I know for a fact that they're like. Cookie tins that have the Santa Bear image applied to them. And then I know that there are, yeah, I mean, they have the Santa Bear line, which I assume sold for like $35 a pop.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Your phone is saying low battery.
Well, it should be charging, so damn it. Okay, well, we'll just...
I'm not going to get any calls.
We'll just have like one quick lap, and then I'll just let this thing charge for a while.
Is it?
It is plugged in. Okay. Like it has a little bolty. Something's going on. Well, you know, we'll if see that plug over yonder that's in the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you could plug this into that, that's the quick charger.
Okay.
Oh, and to answer a question from before, I also bought that because then I could say I have a hutch. Because I would say that's like
I see.
A hutch. Just got to store some stuff in there in plain sight, but still decoratively away.
Well, you're dealing with the space you... Successfully with the space that you have, which is
that, good. Yeah, because I'm one of those people where I'll stand in the middle of my apartment day in and day out. It's like, I want to just kind of rearrange things. Yeah. Oh, wait, I have limitations like... A really weird furnace that's kind of extra large from what I've seen in past years. Or, you know, the window's just a couple inches too far this way or this way. Or my couch is a little too tall.
That's a tough one.
But not to detract too far away from Santa Bear's high-flying adventure, I was actually going to use this as a mic check now that it is December. You know, holiday movies are... more acceptable in society where, you know, if you watch Nightmare Before Christmas is usually safe. But everyone can think of like maybe watching The Little Drummer Boy in June seems kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like there's this threshold you cross and then holiday movies are okay again.
Yeah.
Definitely and so true. I was gonna say Santa Bear's High Flying Adventure is actually one of my favorites. So it was a nice little treat to actually watch that since my only other conveyance of it is VHS at the moment.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone else has other Christmas movies or even movies that you're associating with Christmas if it's more like a family connection or tradition of some sort that's just kind of unique.
You can find anything on YouTube. I will say, though... you know, my background, I shouldn't say my background, but I'm more inclined to focus on like retail. And it has been funny to see the kind of ads that we've been seeing on TV recently. I don't know if those have stood out to anyone. Target's got a, you know, they always do their big thing. And like they had the Target lady and didn't see that this year. I don't know.
Well, they went for that abstract motif that they've basically been doing since they got rid of the Target lady ads, where it's just kind of woman standing, product appears, product in some way that's unconventional to the norm, but at the same time fits into the motif, like something redesigned as leaves on a tree or like palm fronds or something that's kind of hanging down, where it's like, oh, grab in the air. And then, you know, all the rest of the motif, it's all either a red background with white or vice versa, white background with red. So it, like, it could start out looking a lot like a Coke commercial, depending on your, you know, depiction of it. But then you see the Tide thing come down or, you know, Tide is like the only thing I see them see on there. Most of the time, 90% of the Target commercials I see are house cleaning based or food. But never, like, I never see clothing promotions. Like, oh, hey, we just got this brand.
Yeah.
Or now with even skinnier jeans. Or, like, they don't try to tackle the clothing market because I think they know that there are enough people out there focusing, honing in, that they don't need to get into that game, but they can be like, oh, hey, you can get by Tide and Ferris Bueller's Day Off on Blu-ray.
Yes.
Because that's going to make for a wonderful night.
Those are the only two things I wanted in the world. Of all the things.
Thank God you were watching that channel at that time.
Well, we'll have to get away from retail because that's a tangent that it's like, you know, it's all, you know, fun and friendly now, but then, you know, a few weeks closer to Christmas when it's like every time you turn on the TV.
We have a Black Friday survivor among us.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, well, going off with the commercials, I mean, when I watch TV, it's usually TiVo, so ba-doop-ba-doop-ba-doop, and
yeah,
we're back at it. But I haven't seen a lot of – I work for Kohl's, so there's not a lot of Kohl's commercials out there.
I was actually going to say, so should we mention the name of your company? It was like, all right, we're good. We're fine.
Whatever.
Because I – yeah, no, it's realistically, I don't have – like, I have a TV. It's right there, but it doesn't do much real TV-ing. It's more like I'll use Netflix, Hulu, my computer, Xbox – Blu-ray, all that stuff. But I don't see commercials anymore other than, like, YouTube. And then it's like, you know, some politician will buy out 3 months, and that's the only thing you'll see over and over and over and over and over again. Or it'll be, like, the same video game that you know is going to be bad, and they're promoting the hell out of it because they know it's going to be bad at the same time. Like, you just kind of see things in blocks, but I'm a step away from a lot of the modern TV consumerism of, like, everyone's like, oh, this is a new big thing. This is a new big thing. Damned if I know.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, I can't think of even back in my TV days, Kohl's doesn't really get on the TV.
Kohl's doesn't do a lot of TV ads, but last year they were going pretty big. They had kind of had the same thing as Target where they had the really super happy lady shopping and saving all that money that she can save at Kohl's and then dancing through the street with a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah.
It was a good commercial, but...
I mean, yeah.
They haven't really done much else since then that I've seen.
I like this new tangent already.
So what are the big ticket items this year? Does anyone have any...
Well, I mean,
Xbox,
I mean,
obviously One, the consoles, PS4. Xbox.
Which, but both of those are... available now, are they not?
Yeah.
Yes, but they are still going to be hard to get your hands on.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when the iPhone 5S came out, and there's like, oh, it's really back-ordered. But, it's I've been actually watching the South Park interpretation of Black Friday and the release of the PS4 and Xbox One tied in, which, Adam, I think you'd appreciate this, tied in with Game of Thrones.
Ha!
Yeah, that's worth watching. You guys.
Oh
see.
My. Okay.
It you know, Game of Thrones itself. I will admit I have been dragged through it because I get detached really easily, which is an odd thing that I just found out that Wheels does of all people. Like he can't handle fantasy or sci-fi. He just gets detached and wanders away, which is what I do with Game of Thrones. For some reason, like it's just kind of isolated out of that. It's like. But then seeing this South Park interpretation, except for the fact that they highlight a lot of male genitalia as just kind of like this odd recurring concept, and even George R. R. Martin his fixation with it, like as they meet him, and of course the South Park treatment of all of that. But it's like, oh, maybe I should give it another chance. Maybe. Because I've also had Connor's Blu-ray copy of Season 2 for a long-ass time and haven't given it back.
So, South Park's Black Friday PS4 Xbox One
interpretation
of Game of Thrones is persuading you to start watching the
Game
actual
of Thrones.
Show.
Yes.
All right.
Interesting.
Okay.
I have yet to see any of Game of Thrones.
Well, I'm a big fan.
I tried reading the book, the first one. Couldn't do it. And then when I visited family this past fall, my cousin and aunt were recommending me to pick it back up and try it again. So on my drive home, I listened to it. I got further than I did before, and just couldn't do it.
You still kind of check out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, even though both of us love Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I never read Lord of the Rings. I don't think I ever will read Lord of the Rings. I couldn't do it. I've tried.
Right.
I tried Fellowship. Couldn't do it. So maybe it's kind of the same thing with Game of Thrones. I'll enjoy watching it more than reading it.
You'll enjoy the interpretation that is best associated for... See, I'm trying not to make this sound negative, but wow, that sounded really negative. Because it's just like, oh yeah, you can take what everybody takes, but you can't take... Which I actually associate very highly on my own stance, so...
Well, I've been... I made it through book one just fine, but I'm kind of at a standstill in book two because I haven't had the interest to pick it back up because I've already seen everything that happens... Mm-hmm. In the show,
or like it's almost you've watched the cliff notes because I know that of course with any book interpretation to TV or anything, either the path completely diverges.
Yeah, divulges.
It divulges all the secrets, which is why you don't want to read the book.
Yes,
but it also diverges potentially from the actual text because obviously everyone's like, oh,
yeah,
George R. R. Martin, finish more stuff because I don't know where he is in the work list at this point.
Well, that was a funny thing that I heard him talking about in an interview. I think in the one that I posted as one of the video picks
on the website.
Where George R. R. Martin was talking about how the TV show already killed off a few people that he was going to use in later books. So he wasn't really sure what they were going to do with that. But
yeah. I hope the TV show doesn't change his ideas. Like, he should, I think he should, if he's going to use those characters, he should still use those characters.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Sure he will. The TV show is just going to have to figure it out. You know?
But that's actually, they didn't die. Yeah. But that's also an interesting idea of his interpretation now that he has seen a visual incarnation of his show while he's working on the next project. In his mind, does he see Peter Dinklage?
I can also address that.
Like, puppet version.
Actually, no. He said that in this interview that he's been working with this story for 20 years or something like that. So all the characters, like... They are well ingrained in his mind. Mm-hmm. So the TV show is kind of like, look at this over here. That's interesting. But no, it's like... to him, I would imagine it's like Luke Skywalker, having Luke Skywalker here and then seeing a guy dressed up as Luke Skywalker at a convention. It's like, oh, well, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Because in my mind, I mean, obviously this has been a project that he's been working on for a while, but in my, like, the way I just saw it in my head, which I would love to share with anyone who can actually, like, flash animate, because this would be really fun. Is it just he has stick figures, like popsicle stick figures of all of them, and they have like the multi-jointed floppy arms. So like, as he moves them along, it just kind of like dances all over the place. But it's just like he needs to best depict what he wants on the page by using the characters that we are somewhat aware of if we've seen the program. Where if he's like just trying to word it right, he does like little puppet shows for himself. I just saw the visual of like the arms, but I also saw it is more like a ventriloquist dummy. Like you just have that really bad animation mouth at the same time.
Yeah, like with the
It's just the jaw.
The puppet
but I,
jaw.
It's just like now we need to go and do this. I don't know. That seems like a bad idea.
flapping.
It's really just the arms flapping that really got me. But just the idea that he's like, okay, I know. That this is what people think he looks like, so maybe this will help me.
Pretty much Game of Thrones puppet pals.
Basically. but like even lower budget.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of puppets, you're familiar with the new Muppet movie coming out? I'm sure you've seen the trailer.
I'm excited for that.
On the fence.
There's another one coming out?
Yeah.
There's a new one coming out, and I like the story in terms of what I've seen from the trailer, but... movies featuring cameo cavalcades and highly featuring them in the promotions leading up to it.
Right.
I feel like they're really like not they're resting on their strengths on that.
Right.
They're not
right. It crosses. There's a line. You know, you can only have so much fan service before the fans don't like it. It's a line that a lot of shows these days struggle with.
Right.
And it's especially with the Muppets because it's such a long running thing. It's like, you know,
old people like it, young people like it. Yeah. So you could grab a really big group of people, but at the same time, you couldn't grab a really big group of people.
You know, and I think the first one, they really hit it on the head with that one. I think that they found a, they had it, the fan service was tied to the story.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, you're like, you know, for me, what was funny is going back and seeing the Muppet Studio and like all this like kind of weird reference stuff like that.
Thanks, Alan Arkin.
Yeah, well... I'm honored to be called Alan Arkin, to be honest. I like Alan Arkin, so...
Oh, no, no, I'm saying it was, like, they did cameos well, where it's not featuring this person. Oh, right. Like, they didn't put the list in front of the movie. It's like, oh, hey, yeah. Alan Arkin's this guy. Hey, there's Neil Patrick Harris playing himself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it worked for the story.
Yes.
Again, but with this new one, I can see how you can be on the fence for that because it's like, you know, at some point.
And there are also more human characters you have to worry about where before it was two primary characters. Let's get the Muppets. Bad guy.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
It is just a teaser trailer, though, so maybe.
Well, they have released the full trailer at this point.
Oh, have they now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it's more of the same, realistically. Oh. Though, I think they've given away a really great Sam Eagle bit that they...
Yeah,
I feel like they've ruined it. I've seen what I needed to see from him now. I don't want to see him in the rest of the movie. Because it's just like... It's a penis-showing game with badges amongst international crime prevention units. It's like, here's mine. And, you know... bigger, excessive, ridiculous. It's like, okay, I've seen that scene, and I've lost a minute of the movie.
Moving on, though, another
and get away from this. Okay.
Another movie coming out, though, that I'm really excited about is the Lego Movie.
Oh, my God, yes.
I don't know if you've seen the trailer for this, but...
I will be there.
It looks like it has the potential to be good.
After
and it's
seeing
about
the
time.
After seeing the trailer, I actually had to go out and buy a new Lego set so I could feel more involved.
Mm. They're going to make a huge comeback.
By the way,
comeback.
The Hobbit Hole is fantastic.
And that's the thing.
It's fantastic.
For weeks, I was just like, hey, you know that birthday gift?
Yeah.
Did you get the birthday gift? Because I got you a really great birthday gift. How about that birthday gift? And it's just But we enjoyed seeing that as
The Thanksgiving feast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, when I saw the trailer for Desolation of Smog for the first time, and I heard Cumberbatch doing that dragon voice, I had like just goosebumps and down my arms. I was like, you know, because
he's perfect to have a dragon voice.
He is so good.
A dragon voice. Yeah.
Every time that trailer comes on, and even when we went to see Ender's Game and they played the trailer, as soon as Smog comes on and you hear his voice, I have to go, "Gah!"
Well, now you do.
Yeah, I was going to say a really recent callback because I think yelling Sherlock would just be the weirdest
Sherlock!
Dun, dun, somebody lost their dog in the theater.
That Sherlock theme song, man, they nailed that.
Benedict Cumberbatch!
Kind of a mouthful. I can understand why Con would be the go-to.
Yeah. So British.
I don't know. I haven't actually seen the first Hobbit film yet.
It was good. I was willing to buy the song that they sing about the treasure after seeing the movie because the song was so ingrained in my mind despite using it in a lot of... I can't use words anymore.
A lot of trailers.
Teaser trailers.
Yes.
And so after seeing the movie and seeing it in full, it's like, yeah, I should probably have that. And that actually shot me back to high school with everything that kind of floated around that the performance thing that you had that you like readapted a lot of Lord of the Rings music.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Blunt the knives, bend the forks, smash the bottles and burn the corks. Chip, no one? Chip the glasses, break the plates.
I don't know it that well.
That's what Bilbo Baggins hates.
I was actually thinking about
that. We sang that on Thanksgiving, so I had to do it.
Oh, really?
My family loves Lord of the Rings. But yeah, I had a great Thanksgiving. Can't complain. Didn't do any Black Friday shopping, but
no,
just get to see. Yeah, I'm like, I went out before because one thing about Chicago is, you know, overall people a little larger, and they have more big and tall stores, and I'm a tall guy, so I'm like, okay, I can get some serious shopping done. There's chains down here that we do not have here that sell tall people clothes, so that was good. Got a new jacket and some shirts that fit.
My sister and her husband live in Chicago, and I remember walking by a mattress store, and there was a sign on the window facing outward saying, mattresses for heavy people.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely had to take a picture of that and just kind of share that with them. Because I've never seen something that's like, that's kind of rude. Need to actually say if you can do that.
It's a stereotype that I think is for the most part true. If you've seen that new State Farm commercial with Aaron Rodgers sits next to the guy, the Bears fans.
The Bears guys, yeah.
And they're like grilling brats and stuff. There are definitely those people. There are definitely those people in Chicago that are like that, and they have that thick accent.
They're pretty well-rounded.
Still, the funniest part of that commercial is the State Farm guy who does the voiceover at the end. He's like, call your local State Farm and ask for the discount double check. Where they make a voiceover actor do the thing that the character was doing.
Yeah.
I don't know, for some reason it gets me every time to just picture this guy in the VO studio just like, all right, going to get a take on that. Just when you say it, just make sure you say double check. You're not saying double check like you did last time. You're just going to say double check and go.
No, and it even has like a voice coach next to it. Like,
yeah.
More ah.
he's like a guy from Chicago. He's like, okay, what you got to do there? So you just got to redraw that A out.
Yeah.
The Chicago accent is a tough one. It's adding S's where they don't belong and taking them away from where they do belong.
Right.
So we went down to the malls there, got ourselves some hot dog. Just a dumb example, but that's, for the most part, that's what I've seen it as.
True.
Mm-hmm. I've not had the opportunity to have much exposure to the Chicago accent, so I can't offer an opinion there.
And neither have I, because most of the people that I know in Chicago are not from Chicago.
That's my thing, too. Yeah.
They moved there. Mm. And so it's more of, I don't know, maybe this is my headphones. It all of a sudden sounded weird. Never mind. I'm sorry.
It's still the same. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was worried because I remember before I had turned it and it was hitting the bar size.
Oh, yeah.
Making sure to avoid that. Mm. Yeah, but it's just, most people I know in Chicago don't live there. Yeah. I mean, didn't live there. Don't live there.
It's a strange city. Not going to lie. I've seen some things, man.
Okay, so did anyone else watch the Daily Show where Jon Stewart said he hates deep dish pizza?
No.
No.
Why would you hate deep dish pizza?
Okay, so this is actually, oddly enough, layered on top of the fact that the new Trade Center, or the new tower in New York City, is it the new World Trade
Center? Freedom Tower? Right?
Freedom Tower. Yeah, I knew it had another name. So the Freedom Tower has this big-ass spire on it, which, according to some official, makes it the new tallest building in the United States. But the Willis Tower, formerly the Sears Tower, has the highest level of human occupancy in a building.
Yeah.
So the announcement came out about One World Trade Center being, completed with the spire on top and being revealed as now officially the tallest building because the spire is apparently not just an antenna but a visual garnish to the building. And so then there was, the rebuttal from the guy who used to be on Obama's staff, Rahm. Emmanuel Rahm?
Rahm Emanuel.
I had it backwards. I put the comma in the wrong spot.
Right.
Rahm Emanuel saying, but people can actually go higher in the Willis Tower. Yeah. And so then Jon Stewart went on to attack Chicago-style deep dish pizza versus New York pizza. As broadcaster, he's from New York as well, would care to do. And I actually was kind of offended. I was like, I don't know if I want to watch you anymore if you can't respect something that I actually kind of appreciate a little bit.
I like them. They're both good. It's hard to say. Although I just came from Chicago and I had a variety of deep dish pizzas.
Did you go to Uno or Dos?
We did Lou Malnati's and this new place that just came in. I forget what it's called. Oh, no, I think it was just Gino's. I think it was Gino's East. I forget. Who knows? When someone brings you pizza, the last thing you do, and it's deep dish, and you're from Minnesota, and you're just like, oh, right. I'm just going to eat this. Don't worry about the box. At least that's my initial impression. When
I grew up with Devani's, so it's just kind of, they have
a solid deep dish.
Frankie's.
Oh, yeah.
If you've never had Frankie's, that stuff is amazing. Mm-hmm. That's better deep dish than the deep dish I had in Chicago. in my humble opinion.
Mm. Though,
and especially when it's leftovers. Because there's always leftovers.
That is true. The sauce congeals a little more. Mm-hmm. And you get, oh, yeah.
I just looked at the clock, so I can tell this is sounding good.
Yes.
So this should be a very quick beverage reset to get us into the episode, because I know we can keep going on tangents.
Yes. Yeah, we kind of didn't really talk about what you.
Christmas movies. And we had it. We had it.